From World Evangelism Center, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, reaching every nation with Bible salvation, it's Harvest Time!
Harvest Time! Harvest Time! Harvest Time! It's Harvest Time! The Savior's calling. The grain is falling.
Oh, do not pray.
What a joy it is to greet you today in that name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so grateful today to be guests with a Christian Life Center in Kingsport, Tennessee, where Pastor James Tharp ministers the word of the Lord and is our host, together with L.H. Benson, the district superintendent of the state of Tennessee, Harold Jaco, Harvest Time director for the state of Tennessee, and we're so pleased for a number of area ministers who are here with us today. It is a great blessing to lift up the name of the Lord. We would like to make a special invitation to you to visit the United Pentecostal Church in your area. The United Pentecostal Church is a revival center. People who are endeavoring by all means to reach every person of their area with this glorious truth, this glorious New Testament truth. And we would love for you to say that Brother Rose, Brother Becton, we have been visiting the United Pentecostal Church near us. We'd love to hear from you. And we would love to know that you are attending your local United Pentecostal Church. The Christian Life Center Quartet of Kingsport, Tennessee, bring to us a wonderful revival song entitled, Send a Revival, Lord.
Send a mighty revival, Lord, just like you promised in your word. Let our hearts be stirred and the fires begin to burn. Let the Holy Spirit fill our souls. Give a new vision to the young and the old. In the midst of your people, send a revival, Lord.
The promise came down from the Lord up above as he spoke to the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. In dreams and visions he promised to reveal his power to the young and the old. Whosoever will may have God's very best.
Send a mighty revival, Lord, just like you promised in your word. Let our hearts be stirred and the fire begin to burn. Let the Holy Spirit fill our soul. Give a new vision to the young and the old. In the midst of your people, send a revival, Lord.
Just as it was in the upper room, let your spirit fill our souls, giving us power to do the works of the Lord. Break all the bonds of complacency and help us, Lord, to realize yesterday's blessings won't do. We've got to have more.
Send a mighty revival, Lord, just like you promised in your word. Let our hearts be stirred and the fire begin to burn. Let the Holy Spirit
mighty revival, Lord. Just like you promised in your word, let our hearts be stirred and the fire begin to burn. Let the Holy Spirit fill our souls, give a new vision to the young and the old. In the midst of your people, send a revival, Lord.
Vital, the holy revival that can come only from the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can send revival but the Lord. Just like the song said, send a revival, Lord. I would like to talk to you about something very special, just in time for your Christmas giving. We have made an excellent recording during our recent general conference in Fort Worth, Texas. At the 25th anniversary Harvest Time service there, we recorded a two-record album that's also available on cassette tape, 33 and a third RPM, two records and also a cassette tape with the Lanny Wolf Trio, with Tammy Trout and the Kent Christian Singers, Mark Crothers and Company, the New Kingdom Heirs, Barbara Keller, Davis Pedigo Band, Kelvin Alexander, Sharon McKellar, Annette Elms, and Sister Urshan, together with the Boston Brass. Brother and Sister Urshan are singing, together with many other singers from across the fellowship of the United Pentecostal Church. This is a rare musical offering that will be a blessing to every home. And when you give this as a Christmas gift, you keep giving all year long. This excellent record, two-record album, or cassette, if that's what you choose, is available for the low price of $10 or more, should the Lord lead, to the Ministry of Harvest Time. Our mail address is Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We'd love to hear from you this week, and we'd like to rush you one or many copies of this superb two-record album with songs by your favorite singers from across the fellowship of the United Pentecostal Church. Again, our mail address, Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. Gene Morrell directs the Christian Life Singers as they bring to us a wonderful song of inspiration entitled, Jesus is the Rock. solid rock. And aren't you glad you know him? And aren't you glad that he's a great part of your life? And how wonderful it is to know the solid rock on whom our entire future is built. The songwriter said, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And how true that is. Sherry and Michael McClenny of the First Pentecostal Church of Oak Ridge, Tennessee, sing for you at this time, I'm Gonna Leave My Troubles.
Here I stand on the banks of the river. These chilly waters look so deep and wide. But by faith I can see what's waiting over yonder. And I can hardly wait till I get to the other side.
My troubles again. Praise God. Now with his very special message from the Word of the Lord, your Harvest Time radio minister, C.M. Becton, with his message entitled, What Is There in Religion? Brother Becton.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Genesis 45, verses 4 and 5. We sometimes hear the question asked, What is there in religion? Now, I'm not talking about any religion, for there are many religions. Perhaps the question should have been, What does salvation do for you? The story of Joseph is a suitable place to find answers to that question. For Joseph exemplifies what real religion is all about. What it should mean and can mean to a person's successful living in this life and for the life that is hereafter. Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Old Testament, deserves our thanks for succeeding so admirably in picturing Joseph as a conspicuous example of the responsible, dependable person. It is a true story. It actually happened and is widely recognized as one of the world's greatest stories. Joseph was next to the youngest son in a family of 12 boys. The story of his life revolves around the hostility of his brothers toward him. Joseph was the child of his father's old age, and it seems that Jacob became overindulgent and lenient with his younger boy. He was his father's favorite. After stating that Jacob loved Joseph more than his other children, you will read that he made him a long robe of many colors. Scholars believe this robe was a garment such as worn by persons of distinction, and when Joseph wore it, he stood out as a little prince among commoners. We are therefore not surprised that when Joseph's brothers saw unmistakable evidence of their father's favoritism of Joseph, they hated him. and could not speak peaceably unto him. They came to loathe him because he would neither join in nor condone their practices. They looked upon his moral uprightness scornfully as goody-goodness. Joseph was an ambitious boy. He dreamed and told about it with relish that while he was in the field with his brothers binding the grain into bundles, his bundles stood up straight and his brothers' bundles gathered around and bowed down to his. This was interpreted by him and by his brothers as a sign that someday he would reign over them. He had another dream in which the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to him. This implication of this dream was so obvious that his father rebuked him. Shall I and your mother and brothers indeed come to bow ourselves to the ground before you? There could be no doubt that Joseph was a capable, perhaps superior person. He had an ambition to accomplish great things with his abilities, even feeling that he had a divine destiny, that God had a purpose for his life. All these things joined together to generate in Joseph's brothers a dangerous mood. Their hatred was likely to turn to violence at the least provocation. And that provocation came when their father sent Joseph to check on the boys when they were away from home caring for the flocks. When they looked up and saw him coming, whatever needed to be triggered to bring their combined feelings into terrible action happened right at that moment. Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and then we shall see what will become of his dreams. Reuben, the eldest, pleaded for his life. He said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. They seized him, stripped off the robe, carried him over to the pit, and dumped him in. While Reuben was away from the camp, the brothers changed their minds and sold Joseph to a group of Ishmaelite traders on their way to Egypt. What to tell their father was now the great question. They killed a goat, dipped the robe in its blood, showed it to their father, and left him to draw his own conclusion. What a heartbreaking scene when Jacob recognized the coat and concluded that a wild beast had devoured him. He could see him torn to pieces, and it was more than he could stand. Joseph was sold as a domestic slave to a man named Potiphar, a young man only 17 years old at that time. He had not yet met the temptations and attractions of his own little world. He was lonely, ill at ease, and handicapped by his inability to speak a foreign language. He was not embittered, but became the best household slave that he could possibly be. In due time, he was made overseer of his master's property and of the personnel of his entire household. He was a handsome, attractive young fellow, and his master's wife became enamored of him and openly invited him to an illicit affair with her. Oh, for the courage in this our day to cry out in the moment of temptation, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Say, friend, his standards were not determined by statistical polls to discover the guidelines of the majority. He had his own inner built-in guidelines, his simple, basic principles. The cunning woman knew exactly what to do. So with his cloak in her hand, she lied, causing his master to have him cast into prison. Here again, Joseph took his undeserved punishment without acrimony or discouragement. He decided to live by his convictions as a prisoner, just as he had as a lad at home and as a domestic slave. I'm talking to you about what there is in religion. It makes you live right wherever you are. whether it be a slave in a household you don't belong to, or in a prison where you have been placed without any guilt of your own. His worth was quickly recognized in the prison. His God-given ability to interpret dreams reached the ears of a troubled Pharaoh who had dreamed and couldn't understand the meaning of what he had dreamed. Joseph told him that a famine was coming, but prior to the famine, they would have 7 years of plenty. His wisdom of storing during plenty so that during the famine they would have food was acclaimed by all and placed him in the position of carrying out the suggested plan. 13 years had passed since he had been sold by his brethren. He was now 30 years old, the head of a family, and in an important position with the government. Egypt was the granary of that part of the world, and soon groups of people from the surrounding countries began to come to Egypt to buy grain. All who came were required to make application in person to Joseph. One day, a group of 10 men appeared before Joseph, bowing down their faces to the ground as they begged for the privilege of purchasing grain. Joseph immediately recognized them as his 10 brothers who had sold him into slavery. After a series of several events, Joseph could not control himself. He broke down unashamedly in the presence of all who were in the room. And when everybody but his brethren left the room, he made himself known to them. What a statement he then made to his brethren. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. The genius of this story is this. In a day when the customs of the times would not have condemned him if he had slain his brothers before his eyes or permitted them to starve to death, Joseph could not permit himself to take this way out. Not one time did his brothers ask him for forgiveness. Joseph's magnanimity demonstrated itself so that he forgave before he was forgiven. His forgiveness was not contingent upon his brothers. He did not wait for them to purge their souls, but first purged his own. He practiced the gospel of forgiveness 1,500 years or more before Christ gave it to the world. That constitutes the wonder and the supreme worth of this story. Forgiveness. A lost word in our vocabulary today. Somebody that is listening to me today has held a bitterness so long until you are eaten up with it. I plead with you to learn the beautiful art of forgiving. Remember, you cannot be forgiven unless you are willing to forgive. You need go no longer than right this moment to come home to the Father who is even now watching for your coming. And you can know the answer to the question, what is there in salvation?
Harvest time.
Harvest time.
Of Harvest Time has brought you a Bible message with a clear and certain sound. A printed copy of today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at harvest time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today, and we'll be looking forward to being with you next week.